This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you have reached a higher level of Nerdvana.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks. Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome back to the podcast. It's been forever since we've done this, but this is Aaron. This is Confessions of a Movie Snob, and guess what? We have Ethan also. Say hello, Ethan.
I am here.
You
am
here.
I am existing.
I am here. I am existing. So it's been, what, a month since we recorded? 3 weeks, a month, something like that?
3 weeks, I think, yeah. Three weeks.
Something like that.
Life keeps throwing things into my lap, so.
Life's an asshole like that.
Beth and I are now the proud guardian of a 15-year-old teenager.
So. Yeah. So you got to, well, that'll teach you how to, you know, for when the baby comes. I mean, are you changing the 15-year-old's diapers and all that? And is she not liking that much, or what's going on there?
Well, you know, it's some things that I wasn't planning on having to deal with for 15 years. Now I have to deal with.
Awesome.
It's a process that, and I'm still dealing with a pregnant wife. So,
sure.
You know,
sure. That sucks. But what doesn't suck is we are back. We are podcasting, and what we decided
definitely.
To, yeah, that's a good thing. We like the podcasty thingy because it's a stress reliever. But what we decided to do tonight, since it's been so long, we're not going to really touch on the news much. If you want to hear, you know, the last 3-4 weeks worth of, you know, geek news, you can go listen to Truthful Comics podcast on truthfulcomics.com. I talked about that with those morons, those guys, and it was fun there. But what we are going to do is we're going to do a show tonight that's kind of fun. It's kind of a long time coming. Well, I don't know if you'd call it a long time coming, but I think it's something that it's going to feel good to get off our chest. What we're going to do tonight is we are going to, I think it was on our Iron Man show, maybe even before the Iron, I think it actually was the show before the, well, it wasn't the Iron Man show. It was the, what do we call that one? When we talked about Steven Soderbergh's speech, the show before that, I said something when we were talking, I had heard about the, you know, by the way, before we get anywhere into this, there's going to be spoilers of recent movies. So if you haven't seen any of the big tentpole movies yet this summer, you know, just be prepared. We are going to talk about them. Mm-hmm. But on that show, before Iron Man 3 had come out, I had heard about the old Mandarin switcheroo, what happened. And I think I said something on the show about how, you know, how I find this delicious and how I thought this was going to turn out to be the summer of the butthurt fanboy. I said it, you know, halfway, you know, smart ass, but halfway seriously. And holy shit, was I right. This has really turned into the summer of the butthurt fanboy. I mean, the Mandarin thing happened. There was all kinds of stuff coming from Star Trek 2. There's been stuff from Man of Steel. There's stuff coming from that's going to be coming from Wolverine. And then there's just, you know, like some overall things like this, like the whole announcement of the next gen gaming consoles has brought out a lot of butthurt in people as well. So this has really been a benchmark summer in terms of internet bitching. And I think it's kind of appropriate that Ethan and I talk about this, because if there's one thing that we definitely agree on that we definitely do not like, it's people bitching on the internet about stuff that's ultimately unimportant. So tonight we've decided that what we want to do is we're just going to talk about our top moments in butthurt and fanboy butthurt. It doesn't have to necessarily be comic book related. Just stuff that's happened that people complain about, and it has Ethan and I scratching our heads. Should be good. I mean, what are your thoughts on this whole thing, Ethan? I mean, we cut off our conversation before the show because we got talking about Man of Steel for the first time between the both of us. And I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think definitely we need to sort of talk about what we mean by butthurt fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's, you know, something that is has an established fan base and then goes on to be translated into another medium, or gets reinvented or something like that. And then there's the people that are dead set in their ways to want it one way, one specific way, because in one iteration it was this, and now they've changed it to that. And ultimately you sort of hit it on the head when it's things that's ultimately unimportant, trivial, and stuff that you really can't do anything about. So just you know, deal with it and move on is how we sort of put it.
And that's a solid point. Now on, I get, we're not going to quite get into our list yet because we were talking before the show, we were both talking about Man of Steel, and spoiler alert, Man of Steel does not come up on either of our lists, but because it's topical, because it's what, 3 weeks mm-hmm. old, something like that. Now we're going to talk about it a little bit before we get into it. But as far as my list goes, I'm not calling my list moments in butthurt and butthurt fanboys. I'm just calling it moments in butthurt because there are some of these things that are, you know, they're not necessarily related to a pre-existing you know, property or something like that. But what they are is, but they almost always have some sort of pre-existing condition or whatever worked into them to where there's something that happened in the past that's affecting this when it shouldn't. But Man of Steel, Ethan has been very busy lately, you know, adopting a 15-year-old apparently, and a pregnant wife and work and life and all that stuff. So this is the first time that Ethan and I have talked about Man of Steel. Now, on the Truthful Comics podcast, I've had 3 podcasts in 3 weeks where I've gone over it and talked about it. We did a show, and actually the last show that we have on the confession site is actually that show. I double dipped. I put it on both this and I put it on the Truthful Comics podcast. But the last 3 shows that we did is we did the one that was also on confessions. It was kind of like our thoughts leading up in Superman as a whole, and we kind of got into what we were hoping to get out of the movie. And we did that one, and then I did another one after that on. I called it the Review of Steel, where the 3 of us talked like literally. I think an hour and a half after we all saw the movie and talked about what we liked and didn't like and stuff like that. And then I did one, you know, the following Thursday or whenever it is, that was, you know, our reaction to the typical criticisms of it. Okay, and like I said, Ethan's been dealing with life, and he's been busy, and so he was not privy to some of the dumb shit that's being said about it. Now, give me your quick review of what you just said about the Man of Steel before the show, Ethan.
You know, the Man of Steel, I saw it and I liked it just fine. It's definitely a step in the right direction type of movie. I think it's definitely better than the last one.
Yeah.
Superman Returns. There's no creepy super stalker.
Nope.
The movie has its problems, but it's none of them I felt were enough to ruin the movie for me by any stretch of the words. You know what I mean? There are a couple moments in the movie where I was like, but about the last 45 minutes of the movie is just a balls-to-the-wall kick-ass Superman action fest, so, which is what we were really wanting.
Which is, by God, what we got.
Punch and beat the shit out of people.
Yep.
And get the shit beat out of him, too.
Yeah, he did. Now, Ethan, if you want to, like, you know, avoid actually having to seek all this crap out and read it, listen to the newest Batman on Batman. It's Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith talking about Man of Steel. Kevin loved it. Ralph hated it. And everything that Ralph says about it is pretty much the general consensus of people bitching about it. And what it comes down to was, before the show, I told Ethan that there's kind of like 3 basic things that people are bitching about. You know, the first one is like kind of the big one. It's the one that people won't fucking drop. It's they said that he had a complete and utter disregard for human life because of the fight when all the buildings were falling down and the mass destruction and so on and so forth.
I didn't even think about that at all.
That's a big thing. Thing to me, and that's going to come up in our list, is there are things that people bitched about afterwards, and I'm all like, I didn't even think about that. And then I think about it, I'm like, I didn't think about that because it's stupid. There's no reason to think about that.
Personally, I think, you know, they're talking about him getting knocked into buildings. Well, he had just been punched, and he'd gone through the building.
Yeah.
So
there is a couple of times where he knocks Zod through buildings and, you know, whatever. But, you know, then you get into the hypotheticals with that, because, you know, there's the argument that there was the attack with the World Smasher or whatever the hell that thing was called earlier in the day. And it's a good bet that, you know, a lot of Metropolis was already evacuated. And at the part when, and then moving on to, you know, bitch number 2, but, you know, we can also tie it into this is, you know, when Superman killed Zod, he snapped his neck. And people are complaining about that because, oh, my God, he's a cold-blooded murderer. And, you know, getting back to that earlier point, you know, that was in a train station or a bus station, something like that. And it was people leaving. So at the very least, the city was in the process of being evacuated. So thoughts about Zod getting his neck snapped?
By that point in the movie, I wish they had set that up a little bit more, like had Zod taunting Superman a bit more, as far as, you know, it's like the reason that you can't, you know, you'll never win is because you won't go that extra step, and be a bit more of a taunt. But honestly, at that point, I didn't care. So it was like he did the deed, broke the dude's neck, and I'm like, meh. Okay.
My reaction was holy shit. I
bought it in the context of the movie.
Getting into the context of the comics.
Not in the context of the overall Superman mythos.
See, and I would disagree with you there. Superman's not Batman. Superman really does not like to kill. Really does not like to kill, but he will. Batman's the one that's like, you know, I will not kill. I mean, think about like the previous, like think about Superman 2. I mean, he killed, killed through inaction. He killed Zod and Non and whatever the hell that chick's name was. Think about the death of Superman. He beat fucking Doomsday to death. I mean, Superman will kill. I mean, he doesn't like to, but he will do it.
Yeah. And I think they were very clear in the movie that he did it to save people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just, well, I have to kill you. I mean, Superman does what he does in order to save people. And the whole movie is about his conflict. And, we could get into a little bit about, you know, oh, it's so hard to be a god on Earth type of thing.
Yeah.
But really what the movie felt like to me was a good bridge from the ultra realism of the Nolan Batman universe into this new DC thing.
Yeah.
It felt like, yes, Batman could, the Nolan Batman could exist in this universe.
Sure.
And this, I mean, obviously it was a big global thing, and the introduction of aliens, they did it in a way of, oh, hey, there are aliens, guess what? And there's no denying it, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just dealing with the world going on from that. And it's Superman in today's age of, you know, drones and the paranoia against all this other stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like the third thing that this is like one of those ones that like those two are huge. I mean, I can't get on fucking Facebook these days without seeing somebody say something about those two. The other one is actually there's one that I just found out about today, but I don't really want to talk about it too much because I don't know if it actually how big it is. But the other one, and this one is ridiculous to me, but we're going to talk about it because a lot of people talk about it. And it is the fact that Superman didn't have on his Superman panties, and, you know, the red briefs, like, yeah. You know, like he's traditionally had.
But we've known that was coming for fucking for a year and a half now.
Well, there's that.
And in the comics now, correct me if I'm wrong, but he doesn't have them now anyway.
It depends. It depends on where it is. I mean, like, on his, that game Injustice God Among Us, I mean, he doesn't have briefs on, so to speak. He's got, but there's like red coloring there, and I think it looks kind of ridiculous. It kind of looks like one of those wrestling G-strings that go up over their shoulders.
I'm talking in the comics, in the New 52.
Yeah,
he doesn't have them. I think.
I don't want to misspeak and say that. And again, what my answer to that would be is it all comes down to your storytelling priorities. And if your storytelling priority is to say that, you know, this is the same Superman from the Richard Donner and the, you know, the Richard Lester and, you know, hell, even Superman Returns, that this is the same guy and then he automatically shows up and he doesn't have those on, I get you. I see your conflict. I see why you're saying that. However, and Zack Snyder has addressed this, and this is something that he's been attacked for. And he said that he didn't put those on there because this is a Superman that lives in the real world. Now, I would have loved it had he extrapolated on that more, because I knew exactly what he said. But there's those people, or excuse me, I knew exactly what he meant. There's those people out there with no subtlety. And what they're taking it to mean is, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to make this the way I want because it looks cool. No, that's not what he's saying.
Let alone, and like I said, I mean, I do not recommend watching this movie and analyzing it too much, because you could start picking it apart. But, you know, when you're talking about the Superman underwear and whatnot, you really want to think about it. He's pretty much flying around in a cape and his father's long johns.
Yep. Well, in this story, the Superman armor or whatever he's wearing, the costume, it's armor. or it's some sort of suit. It's some sort of Kryptonian suit, okay? And they kind of explain that well enough, though.
And it seems though that he's wearing wearing Kryptonian underwear.
He's wearing Kryptonian clothes, is what he's wearing.
Right.
You know, he's wearing Kryptonian clothes.
I understand that.
Whatever they are, they're Kryptonian clothes. He found them on the ship. Okay. So we got that. However, if you look at the
Russell Crowe, that gold battle armor he wore at the beginning, was badass.
Yeah, I'd wear that. Just wear that on Tuesdays.
Pretty much.
Now, in terms of the briefs, and I'll get past this, and we'll actually get talking about our moments and butt hurt. Okay, in terms of the briefs, the way that you have to look at the briefs, and what Zack Snyder means by he's doing it in a real world is, you know, when he says it's in a real world, it means that it needs to have a real world function. Since he had on Kryptonian clothing, you know, be it long johns or a bodysuit or whatever the hell. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of Kryptonian clothes. Can we agree there? You know, be it long johns or armor, some sort of Kryptonian attire. All right. He's wearing that. But in the comic books and the movies and stuff like that, this is something that he's put together himself. And, without breaking the fourth wall, you know, it's like, you know, it's tights and you wear the briefs over it so you don't see his super dick, you know, because, you know, that's why they wore those. And, you know, to put the real world spin on it, as it was supposed to mimic the 1900s, you know, pugilists, you know, like the bare knuckle boxers. That's what it was supposed to be. Yeah. You know, it was supposed to be mimicking. And what's funny is, you know, by when the hell did Superman come out? 1937, something like that. By then, the briefs actually would have been outdated. Because at that point they would have been wearing, you know, boxing shorts, which is, you know, what we wear is boxer shorts. It's the same thing, you know, because they're not as tight, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they were dated and they were homage-y 75 years ago. Today, they're ridiculous. And in terms of, you know, it being some sort of Kryptonian clothes.
Superman first appeared April 18th, 1938.
Okay, so 1938, excuse me. But it's 75 years ago. And 75 years ago, the briefs would have been outdated. They would have been wearing boxing shorts over their tights. But because he's not wearing tights, he's not wearing something that he built himself on Earth, they wouldn't be there, and it makes sense to me. And if your entire point is to homage and throw back to the to the comic books and what we know as with Superman, I'm sorry, I think of Superman, most people think of Superman, they think of three things. They think of like the hair, like the curly Q hair thing, the cape, and the emblem. I don't think about his panties. I don't think about his tights. I don't think about his boots. I think about those three things. Those three things are there, and that's fine. And honestly, I was... Go ahead.
Yeah, if you sit down though, and if you and actually look at Superman's outfit, it's really cheesy.
Oh yeah, but it's 75 years old.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it has not changed
much
practically.
And that the change is the super panties. Much. And but you know, it's just like, you know, there's this great meme going around that I thought was absolutely fantastic, and I'll send it to you if I think about it. But it's it was a meme. It was, you know, Henry Cavill and Chris Reeve standing side by side, okay? And you know, it's like a comparison, and it was like one of those things where it was on a message board somewhere and somebody took a screenshot of it. And there's this, it was a girl, I don't remember her name, but it was definitely a girl, I remember that. She says, you know, like on the left of Superman, I'm sorry, was Reeve, and on the right was Cavill. Okay, and it says, you know, the one on the right, that's the real Superman. You know, the red color, you know, the briefs, you know, the tight, you know, the classic Superman. The one on the right, I don't know who the hell that is. You know, dark blue, you know, no briefs and whatever. Any true Marvel fan in the universe can tell you that. It was awesome. But, you know, that's kind of like the whole thing. I guess getting into our butthurt thing here. One of my problems is people trying to sound smarter than they are and not understanding what the hell they're talking about. You know, because, yeah, any true Marvel fan can't tell you shit about Superman because obviously Superman is DC. And I think that that's a problem here. I mean, I guess we're going to move past the Man of Steel thing. We both liked it to varying degrees. It was like I said, I got jumped on the other show for saying about I don't care. I said I like this movie. I like it a lot. I'll buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out. But I still like the Dark Knight trilogy better. Sue me. I do. But, you know, it's still a good movie, and it's certainly a step in the right direction. So, and Ethan liked it as well, too. Okay, now moving on to our lists. I kind of explained how I did my list. Why don't you explain your list, like at least the thesis, the overall feeling of it.
Sure. What I went through is I focused mostly on movies. There's one sort of comic book thing in there. But... the way I looked at it was not stuff that pissed me off, but stuff that pissed others off. And there's some things that initially pissed me off, but I got over it. But it's generally stuff that, that people claim ruined something for them, you know, or it was something that, and then I heard about it and consider it to be really fucking trivial.
Mm-hmm.
The way I sort of looked at it was this whole where you have something that's something that people will nitpick, you know, it's just a nitpicky detail to me. So that's really how I just tackled it, or stuff that I knew it's like, okay, I could bitch about this, but who really cares?
Yeah, know? Exactly.
Ultimately it's that whole, well, there's nothing you can do about it. So yeah.
Mm.
Maybe I misspoke earlier, but like all of mine is based off of movies. Every single one of them is based off of movies. What I meant was, you know, not every one of them is going to be based off of a comic book movie. It's going to be, you know, something with, you know, pre-existing. Mm. It's usually going to have some sort of pre-existing, you know, impact in there to the reason why, you know, why they're saying something about this when it doesn't need to be brought up. You know, overall, I don't think it's right down the middle, but I have some very specific things in here and I have some general things in here. You know, like, you know, for example, this isn't one, but let's just say I'm looking at the Empire poster. A specific thing would be, you know, the casting of Billy Dee Williams sucked, even though I don't agree with that. I'm just making shit up, okay? It sucked because he sucked. And then a generalized thing would be, I don't like it that they keep using matte shots. You know, it would be something that I can't tie down to a specific thing, but it's kind of one of those tried and true, they keep it in the argument drawer when they just want to bitch about something. And it's something that almost always, you know, almost always can be defeated. You know, it doesn't matter which movie you're talking about, it can be defeated with the same arguments. And so that's why it doesn't really hold a hell of a lot of water to me. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because I do have some very specific ones and I do have some very non-specific ones. But there's some pretty goddamn funny ones on here. There's only one. Let me look at this. One on here that actually that it's a matter of it made me mad. It's more like, you know, other people got mad about this and it either had me scratching my head or just had me flat out laughing my ass off at him. So, but there is one on here that is, you know, my own personal butt hurt. And I feel that it's fair to stick that in here, but I also think that it's very appropriate for this list. So why don't we see what we got going?
I personally just stuck with stuff that was just, you know, stuff that didn't generally piss me off, but pissed a lot of other people off.
Sure.
I just felt it was ridiculous that it did.
Well, again, you know, yeah, the only we'll talk about the one that actually kind of made me mad with my own personal butthurt when we get to it. But for the most part, there's not one. And that's a big that's a big thing going throughout this list is most of these I don't even care about. And it's funny to me how much people do care about some of this crap. So, yeah, why don't we just get moving on this? Because I kind of want to see what you came up with, because this was a fun list for me to do. I don't know about you. I mean, and I'll tell you what, boy, are we set up for this for, you know, 3.5 years of podcasting, because a lot of this we can pull right off of the podcast. It was all like, they care about that? Really? Huh. What about starving people in Darfur? You know, stuff like that. But,
and I did find myself when I was making lists like, well, I could put this. Oh, no, that just pissed off Shay. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a Mickey Rourke's head didn't explode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and
Man,
that was ridiculous. But see, that wasn't even that. I mean, it's funny to me because, like, a lot, and I hate to say it, but a lot of these, I would say half of these are things that Manuel complains about. But there's stuff that, you know, like since meeting Manuel, I found out, you know, past that point, I actually got to dig deeper into it to see if maybe there's something to it. No, there isn't. So, I mean, it's just kind of funny. So, just have to see what happens. Let's see what happens. All right, Ethan, what's your number six?
All right, well, my number six, I'm starting off with one that's near and dear to me that people griped about. But, again, once you get so late into a movie, at a certain point you don't care. It was the depiction of Galactus in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
What, that you couldn't see him?
But you couldn't see him, that he was a big cloud, things like that. And my defense of it was, okay, you really think that a big giant dude with that funky headdress is going to look good on camera? Yeah, not without spending a lot of money. And, you know, you saw there were some hints about Galactus, but for the most part, he was a giant energy cloud of some sort in that movie.
Huh. Yeah, I've seen the movie once.
That movie gets
I've seen the movie the once, and I'm wrong, but you know, my perspective on it, what I thought they were doing, and apparently I'm wrong, was they never showed him. You were just always seeing shadows and shit. I thought that, you know, he looked like what we thought he looked like in the comics, but you know, we just never saw him. But okay, well, whatever. I'm not surprised.
He was essentially a giant cloud.
No, okay, well, no, a big guy with like the, you know, the Jack Kirby art would look kind of goofy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think they could do it right. It just, they would probably have to redesign it a little bit, but ultimately...
Not pay the actors, that, you know, get rid of craft services.
There's some people that's still pissed off about it, and I think it's entirely ridiculous. So it's one of those things. I love the Fantastic Four, and I actually liked both the Fantastic Four movies just fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Fantastic Four, the Galactus that they had in the second movie, I felt they sort of went that route that Green Lantern went with Parallax. You know, it's they could have set him up for a third movie rather than just, oh, okay, and Parallax is dealt with, or now Galactus is dealt with, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't ruin the movie for me by any stretch of the word. So, Galactus, Fantastic Four 2.
I guess what I would say about that one is at that point I would have, I mean, let's say that like I was even remotely that guy that bitched about stuff like that. At that point, I wouldn't care, you know, because like when did they show that, like 3/4 of the way through the movie or like maybe even later than that, I would have been cared.
You
know, but
like you quote unquote see him maybe in the last 10, 15, 20 minutes.
So definitely the final reel.
By that point, you know, they had already nailed the Silver Surfer down. So
yeah,
at that point, I was like,
he was good.
Who gives a shit, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. My number six is one that I guess we can spend as much time on as we want, but I put it number six because we've talked about it quite a bit, but we've talked about it recently. It's the Mandarin switcheroo from Iron Man 3 2013. Okay.
That's my number two.
Oh, is it? Okay. I don't know.
I love that.
I hate to say it, and you know, whatever. And I actually got accused of being a DC fanboy today that I hate Marvel, which just isn't true. But I actually think I like Iron Man 3 better than Man of Steel. You know, it's weird. I really like Iron Man 3. I liked it a lot walking out of it, but the more I think about it, the more I like it. And I really liked that the Mandarin switcheroo thing. And basically what people are angry about is, you know, they changed him from his, you know, traditional racist oriental magic alien ring guy to a, you know,
when you were sitting there when we talked about this one time, you basically said it when we were discussing the movie a while back. You said that in the actual movie they say it is when they reveal that the Mandarin is this actor and everything, that
Rhodey,
to Rhodey and Tony goes, it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
that exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The person writing the script, you know, and the director, you know, Shane Black, knew exactly what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it was just absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And people got pissed off. It's one of those things. And I'm like, you got pissed off because someone did some brilliant writing.
Yeah,
you people are fucking idiots.
Yeah. I put it my number six, even though it's one that's really near and dear to my heart. I wrote a thing on the fucking website about it, like, you know, how strongly I felt for it and how cool I thought it was. What's kind of funny about it is, you know, we have our friend Tyler, we've talked about it here and there on the podcast, and you know, he's been hearing me say all this stuff the same as, you know, you folks have been hearing about how the Summer of the Butthurt fanboy, and oh, there are people are going to be so pissed off about the Mandarin, and you know, he's a spoiler sensitive guy, so he didn't want to hear it. And then he finally saw the movie like a week or two ago, right? And then and his reaction was the exact same as yours, because actually walking out of the movie theater, I turned on my phone, and apparently we saw the movie like right about the same time. I turned on my phone, and my phone, you know, like I got a text from you. It's like, okay, I saw Iron Man 3. What were people mad about? I'm like, oh, the Mandarin thing.
Yeah.
And I got the same thing from Tyler. He's like, and what were people all mad about with this? I'm like, oh, the Mandarin thing. And then he's all like, why? And I said, well, because, you know, they changed it and blah, blah, blah. And I think that he thought that I was on that side of they changed shit, I don't like it. And he started going on the tirade that I've been going on against. He's like, oh yeah, it's a really great thing to perpetuate, you know, racial stereotypes and blah blah blah. I'm like, Tyler, and I sent him a link to the article that I wrote, you know, talking about it. I'm like, I completely agree with you. He's like, oh okay, I didn't think you were that stupid. I'm like, no, I thought it was great. And so I picked it from number six because it's recent, because I've talked about it a lot, but it's also one of those things that I feel strongly about. Like, a lot of these things are things I don't care about, but this is one that I do like. I mean, this is something that I will argue with people that it was the right fucking move. I mean, there's some of these things that might have been the wrong move, but I just don't care enough to complain about. So I chose it from a number six.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Obviously, you made it it's my number two. And it's one of those things that just boggles my mind. I look at people like they're on fire when they complain about it. I'm like, are you serious? This is like brilliant. This is wonderful. This is exactly what I want out of this character. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the type of update that makes sense, that is smart. And I'm like, someone in Hollywood did something intelligent. This should be an accolade. You know? We should have a fucking parade about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, Manuel's complaint about it was that, you know, they knew that people care about this character, and you know, mm-hmm. they knew that people weren't going to like this move, what they did it. Why couldn't they, you know, he tried the make him a Taliban guy on me, and I destroyed his ass with that argument. And he says, okay, mm-hmm. well then just don't enter in, you know, just don't put race into it at all. I'm like, okay, you want us to do a character called the Mandarin and don't talk about his race at all? Uh-huh, right. And he's all like, well, you know, he's like, well, what right do they have, you know, coming in and, you know, why did they have to do anything with him? If they didn't like the character, why'd they have to use him at all? I said, it's because they didn't like the character that they did it. They did it to say, you know, this is old, this is archaic, this is bad, and this is how we can make it work. And I honestly, how mad do you think people would be if there was no mention of the Mandarin? If it was, I mean, if they didn't do anything at all, they'd be probably just as mad as they are about this. And to me, it's just like, I actually thought this was a good move. It's like several of these I don't care about, but this is a case where I thought it was the right move. And it's people that have no subtlety, they have no taste, and they have no class, honestly. And yeah. I hate saying it because Ed hated it too, but you know, Ed's in a different situation. I think he was just wanting, you know, extreme.
I love Ed and all, but I've determined that he and I have diametrically different opinions on movies.
Well, you know, I mean, Ed and I are, you know, we're kind of there here and there, but I also think that, you know, Ed, you know, going through chemotherapy and this being the first movie he saw in 4 months and everything, he just wanted extreme escapism and didn't get it. And I get where he's coming from on that, and I think maybe in under better you know, better circumstances, he might have been, you know, happier about it. And I love Ed too, and I don't always agree with him, but again, you know, I just, you know, to me, I just think, I mean, this is a case of, you know, I don't know that it's, man, I feel shitty saying it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. This isn't a case of opinion. I just think that if you don't like this, then you're just behind the times. You just don't get it. You're basically saying that Providence is more important than a good story, which I will call bullshit on every single time. Oh, yeah. Every single time.
Totally.
Okay, moving on. Go ahead.
Fantastic.
Yep, it's a great one.
Anyway,
number five, Ethan.
All right, my number five is one that's just near and dear personal to my heart that literally I just did not care about. Something that some fans went absolute, and you probably remember it. I got a fucking earful of it when this happened. It was the omission of Tom Bombadil in The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, God. I bet you did get a full, I heard about it too, working with She Who Must Not Be Named, but I probably didn't get it as much as you.
Yes. Mm. And granted, this was, you know, 10 years ago when the internet wasn't as widely used I didn't troll around the internet to, you know, Facebook wasn't as prevalent, that type of thing. Mm. But this is one of those things that some fans are rabidly pissed off about, and things have settled since. But back then, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
We're pissed off that this happened. Didn't happen. I remember just going, I do not give one iota of a fuck about this.
About Tom Bombadil. Yeah.
I read the books and I'm like,
wow, those suck.
Why they cut him out.
Yeah.
There's no point to have him there.
Yeah.
That's just me. It's Tom Bombadil, Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a fucking earful. It's one of those things that I just don't. You talk about things that you don't care about. I couldn't care less about this one.
You know, I couldn't have cared less about that, but it got what's the word for Lord of the Rings fans, ringoos, whatever. He got them in such an uproar. I was glad they left him out because it was funny how mad they got about this.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, I was just like, really? Seriously? And yeah, I read the book and I'm like, wow, that was a boring chapter that had nothing to do with anything. I see why you cut that out. And yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. That's a good one. That's a good one.
But it's
it's your number five. My number five is a weird one. This is one of those ones that's going to be, it's going to be kind of like what I was talking about with some sort of pre-existing something affecting something that shouldn't have anything to do with it. My number five is the, I want to say 2011, the 2011 Jonah Hill Oscar nomination. And what I mean by that is we've talked about this on the show, and other people have been privy to it. And what it was Jonah Hill was in the movie Moneyball. Actually, I think it would have been just last year, so it would have been 2012. But, you know, he was in the movie Moneyball, and he was very good in the movie Moneyball. And he ended up scoring himself an Oscar nomination. Actually, he ended up scoring all kinds of nominations, including a Golden Globe nomination, and got out to Oscar Day. Oscar nomination day, and you know they're reading off the supporting actor nominations, and there was Jonah Hill for Moneyball, and there was an audible chuckle in the theater, you know, from all like the whatever the building was, well, you know, with all the reporters and shit, you know, because they're basically all like, you know, ha ha ha, you know, Jonah Hill's got an Oscar nomination, he's not gonna win, and so on and so forth, and ha ha ha, he was that guy that was in, you know, Superbad and this and that, and so on and so forth. And I'm like, you know, motherfuckers, that's really shitty of you, because this dude is growing. You know, he is, you know, he's doing these movies like this where he's trying to expand himself as an actor, as a performer, to be more of like more than the Jewish guy in the stoner comedy with the big fro. I mean, he's trying to be more than that, and he does that. He does that well. He gets to the point where he's, you know, possibly going to be honored by his peers. He is being honored by his peers for doing a good job. And they had the audacity to have a shitty little chuckle about it. And I think, you know, and I think this is a case of malicious butthurt. You know, I think it's a case where people are just being shitty. And, you know, I thought, you know, I mean, I don't really particularly care about Jonah Hill one way or the other. I kind of lean more positive than negative towards him because of what I just said, because he actually is trying to expand. And, you know, it was great seeing him in Django Unchained, and he was very good in Moneyball, and, you know, he's trying. And so I like it. But, you know, this is a case where I thought people were just being really shitty. And I'm sure you remember that too, right, Ethan?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my number five.
I do remember that. Honestly, it was one of those things. I heard it, and there was a little chuckles here, and then I saw Moneyball, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
he was good.
Yeah, you know, by that point, I had seen Moneyball. And it's a case of it seemed like on one of the smoothie makers, they were talking to Edgar Wright about Michael Cera, and, you know, how they took him to some radio show with doing press for Scott Pilgrim. And, you know, basically, you know, the year before, they like made some, you know, wrap up about how Michael Cera is a big old pussy, and only thing he does is whine and gripe and moan and stuff when he's in the movie. And then, you know, he's in, Scott Pilgrim, and he's, you know, kicking ass and taking names. And, you know, honestly, you know, being a much different character than what we were used to. And, you know, they saw the movie, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they'll go ahead, watch, look at this. This is a rap, you know, about what you used to do. And it's just like, you know, that's really fucked up and shitty. And, you know, I'm not a Michael Cera fan, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought that was very shitty of them. And he had talked about that. And I think this is the same thing going on here. It's, you know, people not letting somebody grow. I mean, it's really shitty, and they just can't let things go. So that's my number five.
Mm-hmm.
My number five.
Yeah, it's totally one of those things. It's just like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but really,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Okay, what's your number four?
My number four is one that we got an earful of. I think you and me both didn't care about this, but it's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay, yeah, we both got a huge earful about that one.
Oh yes, oh yes.
And I've gotten an earful about that one recently, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I gotta say, ultimately this one didn't affect me because I don't care about Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
like at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, really not much more to say about that. The it's entirely one of those things that, yes, they did that to the character. I thought the casting of the character was great.
Yeah.
They changed the character quite a bit. But ultimately, that whole movie got a bad rap.
Yeah.
And I think this was a major portion of it, why people bitched and moaned about it.
I do, too.
Yeah, you know, it ultimately it was a who gives a fuck, right? I mean, this is they sort of got this character in there in the context of the movie. It made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could build off of it and go off with
exactly
an actual movie at some point, you know?
Exactly. And that was my thing about it was, you know, yeah, he wasn't the, you know, I mean, yeah, they went so far as to, you know, take away his ability to speak, and obviously Deadpool's known for his wisecracking humor and this and that, so on and so forth. But, you know, my thought on it was, you know, this could be a new secret origin. That, you know, that's something that a lot of people are resistant to, mm-hmm. is, you know, new shit in movies, and I'm all for new shit in movies. You know, in the movie, excuse me, in the books, if I remember right, he had some sort of really nasty fucking cancer that was going to kill him, and they gave him some sort of...
Yeah.
You know, a healing factor drug that, you know, that healed him, but it also, you know, made him look all fucked up and, you know, messed with his head and so on and so forth. And he made him like this. And, you know, I don't see it, you know, that big of a stretch where they could have, you know, done what they did to him in that movie where he already, you know, had like the inklings of that wisecracking personality. And then they go and they do this to him. They put him through all this, and then he fights Wolverine and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he falls off. You know, that to me, you know, that to me is a new secret origin. That to me is an easy way to kind of get him to a point where he could be in his own standalone movie. It doesn't look like it's going to happen now, but I mean, I'm fine with it. And I, this one came up on our underrated movies flick, if I remember right. And I liked this. No, this wasn't that. This was, we did a show recently where it was all, did we call it underrated movies? Yeah, it was underrated movies. This one was probably your number one, but we're both right there with it. We both really dug this one quite a bit, and Deadpool's a major factor in it. I completely agree. Completely agree. Okay, moving on. My number four, again, it's a weird one. My number four is not going to be a specific movie or anything like that, and it's actually going to get more into the awards show circuit, and it's going to take a bit more setup than me just flat out saying what it is. But basically what it is my number four is the de-evolution of the Razzies, the Golden Raspberry Awards, okay? There was a time, the Golden Raspberries, I believe, are 34 years old at this point. There was a time when I was a teenager, and, you know, it also might be because, you know, I'm less cynical now. I'm, you know, less, you know, wanting to talk shit about movies. But there was a time in my life, in Ethan's life, in our recent memories, where the Razzies used to be fun. You know, they used to be, they used to be an awful lot of fun, to where, you know, it was all like, you know, ha ha ha, this movie wasn't very good, you know, good luck next time and stuff like that. But then this thing started to happen in the Razzies, and I kind of have it narrowed down to two awards in my mind. But this thing started happening with the Razzies to where they just devolved into shitty and complaining and snarky
I like to think of them as the troll awards.
And
that's pretty much what they do.
They troll.
Give awards to the thing that everyone bitches the most about online.
Right. And I got it narrowed down to three awards, which I think I have two awards which gave me pause, and I have a final award that killed them for me. The first two awards that really kind of, you know, that struck me as kind of funny or bad was the first one was in 2000 when they nominated Sofia Coppola for Worst Supporting Actress for Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. Granted, it's in The Phantom Menace, so I have my thing about me, but I will bet money that most people don't know that she's in The Phantom Menace at all. And, you know, she's in the background. She doesn't have a single line or anything like that. And it's obviously just backlash for The Godfather Part 3. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that's really, really kind of stupid and shitty. And then they, it was also in 2000, where they came up with the worst character of all time award. And they gave it to Jar Jar Binks. And bear in mind, Jar Jar Binks was 6 months old at this point. And so they were saying, you know, he was worse than any other character, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, it was a bad year. And then the one when I flat out, I haven't paid attention to the Razzies, since they came up with this one-time award, and you know they moved away from it and everything, but I don't care. It turned me off to them entirely. It was when they came up with the most tiresome tabloid targets, so that they could talk shit on Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. That's the entire reason that they came up with it. And at that point, I'm like, okay, it's done, because they're just trolling. They're being shitty and they're being horrible. And I just moved past them at that point. I'm just like, okay, I have no need for this anymore. You know, it's no longer fun. It's no longer good natured. It's no longer anything like that. It's just shitty. And so, you know, they died to me that year, and I have not watched or paid attention since. I mean, are you right there with me? You don't like them anymore either?
I'm right on there with you. I mean, it used to be entertaining of, haha, let's see what crappy movies are out there, and they're all very tongue-in-cheek, and now they take themselves too seriously, and it's entirely too much of a popularity contest type of thing of, well, everybody hates the, like honestly, they'll probably do something about Man of Steel or do something about, you know, any of this butthurt fanboy stuff we're talking about this summer. They'll pitch about something like, oh, worst rehash of a TV show plot or something stupid like that. Okay, guys, you'll fucking grow up.
It's when they start making shit up to say something that has nothing to do with movies is where I start getting angry about it. You know, it's just like, you know,
or stuff that clearly plays to a certain audience as far as who they're trolling to. It's like, you know, and the award for worst directing, you know, and the Michael Bay award for worst directing goes to, Michael Bay for Transformers, you know, stuff like that. That is just, it's like, guys, come on, this is just tired.
And again, this is one that, and another one that it was in between, you know, when I was first worried and I flat out gave up, but I thought it was really shitty of them and uncalled for when they gave worst supporting actor to Hayden Christensen for episode 3. I will buy it for episode 2, but episode 3, it was bullshit, and it was just being, I mean, again, it was just, you know, saying, everybody hates Star Wars, ha ha ha, you know? I just saw, like, whatever, people. And then, you know, so unfortunately, I you know, it used to be something I loved, and I don't anymore. So I guess, that's my number 4.
Yeah, no, and that's entirely fair. It's really just become a tired old, it's turned into what you sort of see the fat comic book store guy from The Simpsons sitting there bitching up stuff.
You know? Worst comic ever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Comic ever.
Worst comic ever. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the Internet Message Board Awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, say what you will about the Oscars, but at least they're almost always, you know, good-hearted, you know, good-natured. And when something's mean-spirited, and that's a big, the Razzies has just become mean-spirited, and I don't have any need for that. So, yep, my number 4.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Star Wars, and I was very tempted to put Jar Jar Binks on this list, but I was like, we'll go with a more recent hurt. When they re-released Star Wars on Blu-ray.
Oh, the no!
The addition of Darth Vader saying no.
Yeah.
No. Do you remember the
fucking
fervor just built up around that?
Of course I do.
Seriously, guys?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those moments where I'm like, okay, and you know, I've always been a proponent of people who go up and bitch and moan, oh, George Lucas is raping my childhood, or this ruins Star Wars for me, and I just want to just grab them and go, okay, how does this ruin Star Wars for you?
What does it change?
Explain this.
What does it change is what I want to know. And then, you know,
what does it change? Does it eliminate the good times you've seen, that you've been able to watch Star Wars in the past, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And it's like, you know, they did release the theatrical ones on DVD.
Yes,
bottom line, you can have that. You can have that original experience of Star Wars if you absolutely want it.
I have them, but I never watch them. I watch the Blu-rays.
Yeah, because the Blu-rays are gorgeous.
Yes, they are. And again,
there you go.
I liked that scene. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I think that this got to the point. I think that this is one that turned into, this was, you know, right before George Lucas started being really, really, really vocal about his trolling, and I love it. I mean, George Lucas, I mean, I love those fucking prequels movies, don't get me wrong, but I kind of love the George Lucas trolling people period of his career the most. I mean, that's cracking me up.
Well, and the whole George Lucas thing, it reminds me of that way back when William Shatner was on Saturday Night Live and did that little bit at the convention, said,
you people need to get a life, that whole thing. I entirely just want to replace George Lucas and put him in there.
Yeah.
And say, okay, that's essentially what he's done. And I'm like, that's beautiful. Great. Yeah. I love it.
It's awesome. It's good stuff.
And so this sort of embodies that to me. I'm like, okay, so two little lines in this that they added to this movie have ruined it for you.
And really. I think it makes sense.
That petty.
Yeah. You know, it's just, again, I mean...
Like it or hate it, who gives a shit?
Apparently they seem to think they give a shit. One of the things that I really, really, really hate about the Star Wars prequels is I hate... And I can't think of a specific time, but I'm sure I've heard it, like, and I probably heard it on, you know, television or podcast or radio or something like that. There's this nasty, infectious thing about the prequels where somebody can't even talk about the original. Where they can be like, oh, man, I fucking love The Empire Strikes Back. When I was a kid, I used to run around and pretend like I was Darth Vader, and I would, you know, dress up my dog and ride him like a tauntaun and do all this and do all that. And, you know, it was a really good time. And, you know, I love that fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Too bad they fucked it up with the prequels. I mean, like, why does that need to be put in there? Why I don't understand they can't come up with that divide. And,
yeah, there's no one holding the gun on you, making you watch movies you don't like.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. My number three is one that we can actually tie into this. It isn't specific to Star Wars, but boy, does it focus on Star Wars a lot. And it's actually like some of the first times that I ever started hearing about it. I'm going to call it the CGI Yoda. And what I mean by that. Is there's this thing that happens every time they make a digital character or they do a CGI anything. Why don't we just call this, I'm going to call it the CGI Yoda, but I'm talking CGI anything. There's that stupid fucking remark of CGI isn't real, so it's bullshit. And again, you know, apparently I'm a George Lucas fanboy and I'm crazy, but I think he said it best. Absolutely said it best to me, and he was talking about it on the Revenge of the Sith commentary. He was talking about some of the people's criticisms about CGI versus practical, and he said he thought it was absolutely hilarious that people seem to think that CGI is any less fake than a fake puppet. and that's exactly the truth, because people are like, yeah, man, Yoda didn't have any soul when he was CGI, the CGI character. I mean, you just couldn't feel his soul. I mean, he wasn't soul before. He was a fucking sock. He was a fucking sock. You know, he was foam rubber and cloth and, you know, pulleys and gears and stuff like that. That doesn't have a soul in it either. And, you know, to me, it's just a really weird ass... It's just a really weird, tired, boring complaint because people keep on saying it. You know, oh my God, the digital characters, and oh, it's just a CGI fest, and Jesus Christ, and this and that, so on and so forth, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, CGI is looking really, really, really good these days. And I'm sorry, but, you know, I think that, like, I'm not sorry. I understand it. I'm not sorry. I think that the reason why people get so bent out of shape about CGI is because they're aware of it, but they're not aware of it because it looks any less or more real. And, you know, it could be like an Uncanny Valley thing. You know, the Uncanny Valley, the thing where they talk about how you can take a robot, you know, that looks nothing like a human, and then you can take a human and you can start adding features to it, you know, to where, oh, it's cute, it's cute, it's cute, it's cute, it's cute. And then it gets past this point in the valley where it starts to look too much like a human and it starts creeping them out. I mean, there might be a thing like that going on with, you know, CGI effects when they look so real that there's something, you know, popping out in their mind of it. But I think it's probably more of a case of, you know, they're aware of it, you know, because of the internet, because of DVD special features, because, you know, they're much more, you know, forthright about, you know, the movie making process. So, you know, you watch a movie now and you can be like, oh, I wonder how they did that. Oh, they probably did CGI. But like, you know, 30 years ago, oh, I wonder how they did that. And it could be, you know, makeup, it could be, you know, miniature, it could be armature, it could be, you know, it could be like some sort of matte effect, it could be lighting. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's part of that. But when it comes down to it, I don't care if it's a miniature, armature, CGI, it's all fake. It's all fucking fake. Yeah. And you can't call out one fake and say the other fake is better. And in my mind, that's a big old butthurt that I will never understand, because fake is fake. You know, there's not more or less fake. It's just fake. So that's my number, what we say, three? Yep, that's my number three.
Three, yep.
Yep.
Yep. And, you know, I completely agree with you. It's you know, here's a newsflash for all the Butthurt fanboys out there.
None of this is real.
None of it.
None of these characters exist.
None of it. You know, like, you know, Captain America, he's really this actor guy named Chris Evans. He doesn't really have a shield. He's not really a soldier, you know. And Yoda, even the old Yoda that had a soul, he was a fucking sock. I'm sorry. That's all he was. He's a fucking sock on a hand. But I still love him anyway. You know. But I love it all. You know. I love digital. I love CGI. I love sock Yoda. I mean, it's all good to me. Okay, moving on.
Well, my number two was the Mandarin in Iron Man 3.
Oh, right. Okay. Now we're getting down to my number two and my number one. These are ones that fucking crack me up. These are ones that I find hysterical. These are ones that are really funny to me. My number two, and my number one is going to be one that makes me laugh too. Well, my number two is one that makes me laugh so fucking much. My number two is, I don't know what to say about it, so I'll just say it, Battleship. Battleship the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, my thing about Battleship the movie is ever since they announced it, there is this outcry. Oh my God. Battleship the movie. Oh my God. It's so stupid. It's based off a board game. Oh my God. This is bullshit. Oh my God. This is everything that's wrong with movies these days. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's horrible. It's stupid. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it was just, you know, ongoing. I mean, there was some of it going on our show, but Ethan and I are like, fuck that. It's got Liam Neeson in it. I want to see it. And then I saw it and Ethan saw it and, you know, I liked it okay. And it was what it was. I didn't know what the hell it had to do with Battleship, but I liked it okay. I think my thing about this, why it cracks me up so much, is it's adorable to me. The movie audiences act like they deserve something better than this. Movies, and we've talked about this before in varying degrees, but the movies that are coming out are very normally, almost always, a reaction to something else. And when you have movies like The Transformers, G.I. Joe, The Smurfs, whatever, these 80s nostalgic action movies, and you go and you spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars at it at the theater, Battleship is what's going to happen. And it just cracks me up that the there's going to be people, oh, I hate the Transformers and I hate all this and I hate all that. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but they don't make movies for you personally. They don't make movies for me personally, but I understand that it's all tied together. And it's funny to me that people are acted all offended, like they deserve something better than this, like they have some sort of better movie taste, like, you know, only thing they go to see is art house films and, you know, good stuff. They don't ever bother to see this bullshit. There's a reason why this movie was made, and this movie was made because of fucking idiots like you. That's why I put it on number two. People are all butthurt about it, but I'm like, it's your fault, dude. Deal with it. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, it certainly wasn't very good, but it wasn't that bad either. So, number two.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, in a world where domestically a film series, the Transformers film series, grosses over $1 billion worldwide, this is entire, or domestically, excuse me.
Yeah, domestically. It made a lot.
It's
worldwide.
One of those things that, what did you expect from Battleship? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a logical fucking progression. I saw Battleship. I didn't see it in theaters. I've got a copy of it digitally, and yeah, you know what? It's cheeseball entertainment. That's exactly what I was expecting.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It had the unfortunate problem of coming out the weekend after the Avengers.
Yeah, it did do that. It was also kind of, so, you know, they probably could have not called it Battleship, and it would have done a lot better. I mean, I don't know if it came a lot better. I don't know, because I think it did okay. I mean, it was certainly not a smash, but it did okay. And it's just funny to me that people seem to think they deserve better than this, when I think that they're lucky to get something like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Alrighty. I guess we're down to your number one, Ethan.
All right. My number one is the first one that popped in my head when we decided to do this, and it's one that makes me chuckle. It makes me laugh. I love it. It entirely is one of those things that it's from something I love, and it's something that there are lots of people out there that are absolutely militant about. And I know you are in the same boat with me on this one, and we would both proudly wear shirts that say Greedo shot first.
Fuck yeah, I would. I've been meaning to order that. I've been meaning to order that. Greedo shot first. I don't have that on my list, but I did leave out Star Wars on purpose. But yeah, that's a big one. It's a huge one.
I mean, this is one of those things that, I mean, we sort of went into it various times here and there, but people get up in arms about this one. Mm-hmm. And to the point where they you know, in the Blu-ray edition, they changed the timing on the shooting. You know, it's like, that is
something they've actually monkeyed with on every single special edition. Every single one they've come out, they've messed with it again and again and again. I mean, it's something that they're trying to get right.
Yeah, but they don't want to remove it out of there. I think now they don't want to take Greedo's shot out at all, because I think at this point it's the principle of the thing. You know? But ultimately, this is one of those things that there are some diehard people that want to see George Lucas crucified just for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't get it, and I just see this and go, okay. You know, what's your take on Greedo shooting first?
Well, obviously, I'm very biased because I love Star Wars and I love anything new that they throw our way. I got an Admiral Mahdi figure on my shelf in front of me, Empire figure. I got a Yoda Pez dispenser sitting right in front of me. So, you know, I have a thought or two on this. Okay, my general thought on the reaction is, what does it change? Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, well, Han shooting first and shooting him in cold blood, you know, shows, you know, that he's not, you know, your typical Sunday morning cereal, you know, white cowboy hat wearing hero. I mean, he's a smuggler, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but at the same time, he still fucking shot him to fucking death in public and threw a coin at a guy and said, clean that motherfucker up, and walked out. You know, that to me, the important part of that. It's not, you know, who shot first or anything like that. And I also, you know, again, I said something earlier about George Lucas and trolling people out and so on and so forth. Remember that awesome article that he put out? And we talked about it on the show, where he's all like, sorry guys, Greedo always shot first. And he got out his personal script of the original Star Wars, where he had it penciled in there. Then they just, you know, it was just like a weird angle and he always didn't like it. And that was actually like one of the things that that always, you know, convinced him that he wanted to go back and you know fiddle with things some more and, you know, tighten them up and here. Uh-huh. And so I'm all for Greedo shooting first, you know, because, you know, to me that's like a, that was obviously, well, granted 1977, but it was a 1977 updated, you know, like gunfighter shootout. I mean, how many times have you seen a Western where, you know, like the good guy and the bad guy pull on, you know, draw on each other, and then the fucking guy, you know, like the bad guy's an awful shot, the good guy, you know, nails him. He's like, yeah, I'm a badass. And, you know, that's exactly it, is, you know, that was one of the things that was always funny to me about, is people, oh my God, they made Greedo shoot first. To me, the important part part of that scene was always the sorry about the mess and flipping the coin. That, and nobody, I don't know, to me it's all the same. And I want a Greedo shot first shirt. I want one to wear every day of the week. You know, I would wear that into wear that into a Star Wars convention. You know, fuck that. I'd wear that into a Lord of the Rings convention. You know, I don't care, because this is a big thing, and you know, it's you know, that would be a matter of trolling, and I'm cool with that. You know, if people care that much about something that means so little, then I'm all for it. You know, I am all for it.
And the reason I like it so much is because the amount of fervor that it causes in certain people.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know what? Because ultimately I don't care. So just the act of me saying Greedo shot first would cause people's heads to explode.
Oh yeah.
And I love that. I'm like, okay, I can get some pleasure out of this because it's funny. And it's entirely just my personal pleasure and me being, I guess, sort of a geek sadist of going, yes, except I love to see them squirm.
Oh, boy, do they get mad about that, though. But, you know, I don't care. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, it's George Lucas's movie. He could have, I don't care, he could have Spock walk in and shoot him for all I care. I mean, so long as he does it, and I'm cool with it. It's his movie. He can do what he will with it. So, Okay, my number one isn't going to have as much punch as yours, but it's still a good one, and it's another one of those ones that really cracks me the fuck up. And I got this is very similar to my number 10, but it's also my number, but this is my number one, because this is the one that just kind of, it was like one of those moments on the show, and it came up, you know, it came up in the news, and you said something about it, and then you started saying something about the, about people reacting about it, and, you know, reading off some things that had happened, and I think we had a guest on that was kind of going up against it, and I was quiet, which is very weird for me, but I was quiet for a little bit, and then just out of nowhere, I came out and said, who in the hell gives a fuck that they're remaking Point Blank? That was my whole thing, or Point Break, excuse me, Point Break. That was a big one to me. People got so goddamn up in arms about Point Break, like they are remaking, you know, The Wizard of Oz, Citizen Kane, Star Wars, Gone with the Wind, like any of these movies, and it's this... It's a. Like
we're talking about the same movie here.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like Surfer, that. You know, Keanu Patrick Reeves, Patrick Swayze. That movie. Really, you care that much? You care that much about this stupid little remake? And this is one of those ones. I mean, it's. I mean, it's obviously doesn't have, you know, 14 years or hell. No, the remakes came out in 97, didn't they? But you know, so it doesn't have 15 years of you know thing with me. This is a or history with me. This is a new one for me, but it was just one of those ones where I'm all like, wow, people's priorities are different than mine, you know, because I mean this is like the what's the word, the archetypical version of, wow, I don't care about that movie, okay, wow, I'm not gonna see that movie, and then moving on. But I also didn't give a fuck about the original Point Break, so I could not imagine giving even less of a fuck about the new Point Break remake. And it just funny to me, and this was to me, this was a case of people just like saying, oh, remake, oh, movie I've seen, oh, boom, you know, because everybody hates all fucking remakes because they're the spawn of the devil and blah blah blah. And I'm all like, really, who gives a fuck about Point Break? Apparently, I don't know, maybe I'm just in my little bubble and people really love the fuck out of some Point Break, but I haven't ever met anybody that does.
It's new to me,
yeah.
I mean, I sort of filed it in the same people who got pissed off about the Red Dawn remake.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just all...
This one is such a seminal classic.
yeah. I have it on my shelf in my classic section right next to, you know, Seven Samurai, because it's just that wonderful of a movie. But yeah, I'm just all like, wow, really? You give a fuck about Point Break? Because I don't give a fuck about Point Break. So, yeah, that's my number one, because it's just a matter of people really caring about things that I don't see why they care about. Okay, Ethan, why don't we do a rundown of our top 10 and stick a fork in this bitch?
That sounds good to me. My number 10 was the whole hubbub over replacing guns with walkie-talkies in E.T.
Oh, God, I should have thought about that. Yeah. You know, I was all for Spielberg on that one. He said it always bothered him. Uh-huh. If it always bothered him, then he should get rid of it. That's the way I see it.
Movie. Who cares?
Great movie. Yeah.
My number 9 was the depiction of Dark Phoenix in X-Men's Last Stand.
What do they complain about with that?
There wasn't any Firebird. And
yeah, there was. Oh, well,
no,
well whatever.
No, it wasn't at the end of the second movie.
Oh.
It's under the water. And okay. That's all you get.
Okay.
My number 8 was the replacement of Baccarat.
I watched the Skyfall the other day, and I was watching the scene where he was, you know, he just fucked the bitch on the beach and he's drinking his Heineken. I'm thinking, you remember when that was a big deal? I almost put it on this list.
I was mostly putting that on the list, you know, of the Heineken thing too. I'm like, oh, gives a shit.
And what's funny is, you know, go back in our shows. I don't remember when we talked about it, but when I talked about it, I was just all like, it's not a big deal, people. He's probably going to be drinking it in one scene. You're probably not even going to see the label, and he's probably going to be in some dive of a bar. And it was, you know, pretty much that. I mean, it was in one scene. You couldn't see the label, and he just had sex in his beach house. I mean, it was a depressed post-coital beer, and I loved that. And it was just funny to me how, yeah, okay.
My number 7 is the nuclear fridge from Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
You know, again, you know, that's one that I won't listen to because it has Providence. There's a reason why they did it. But people do get pissed about that.
And then we get into the ones that I just talked about. Galactus in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, the lack thereof of Tom Bombadil in The Lord of the Rings, Deadpool and Wolverine, Vader saying no in Return of the Jedi, the Mandarin in Man 3, and Greedo shooting first in Star Wars A New Hope.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay, my this is unfortunately the way that this list. I actually have, all these take, except for one, they all take a little bit of an explanation. Okay, my number 10 is one that, it's kind of funny because I had it on my list, and then, we actually got word about it that, it isn't going to happen, but that doesn't mean that people didn't bitch about it when it did happen. But it was Ryan Reynolds in the Highlander remake. And my response to that one was, because we wouldn't want to, fuck up, the wonderful thespian that was Christoph Lambert in the first one, along with Sean Connery acting like he's a Spaniard. That was it. And then the other ones are ones that that aren't specific, but they are things that happen time and time and time and time and time again, and it's just annoying to me. My number nine is what I'm calling working knowledge making you an expert. What I'm talking about like that was like say somebody seeing the Avengers and they're watching Hawkeye and they remember that they took archery in junior high, and so that means that they think that they know everything about archery, and it doesn't make any sense that he's able to make that good of a shot or shoot in that high of wind speed or something like that. Or somebody with the working knowledge of engineering saying, oh no, the bat pod wouldn't work because it couldn't turn like that, and just stuff like that. People, they know a little bit about something, so that means that they think they know everything about something, and then it's also overly all irrelevant because it's a goddamn fake movie. So
yeah,
that's my number nine. My number eight, I don't like that. I'm going to have to think of something else. But right now, my number eight is fill in the blank wouldn't do that. And what I mean by that is, that's one that just drives me up the fucking wall. And this is one of those ones that I was kind of talking about when I was saying earlier. That's like, it's one of those annoying, stupid complaints that can always be defeated by saying one thing and the same thing every single time. And it's, but they did. It's like, Batman wouldn't have let Talia stab her, but he did. Or, a Jedi shouldn't be, or I mean,
Batman Jenk, wouldn't have, Batman wouldn't have taken 8 years off,
but he did. Or, Jango Fett shouldn't be able to kill a Jedi, but he did. That was the whole thing. Yeah, that was just the annoying thing to me. It's just like, because they're complaining. It's what I say time and time and time again. And like when I get moving on my career a little bit more, it's something that it's going to be my thesis of, when I review a movie, I never try to review a movie for what isn't there. And that's a case of that. They're saying, well, it should have done this and that and so on and so forth and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, but you're spinning your tires there, bud, because, no, that isn't what happened. What has happened is what, you got, presented to you on screen. And I guess my number seven is going to be the one that I didn't want to put on, but I'll put it in here anything because I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But it is fill in the blank wasn't in it enough. And what I mean by that is take your favorite character. It's like, say, Ra's al Ghul, okay? He wasn't in, Batman Begins enough, so fuck that movie. And, it's when you take, your personal prejudices and your personal preferences and your stuff like that, and you use it to tear down the entire movie. You'd be like, oh, I would have really loved, it was something that I've been saying. And
Liam Neeson wasn't in Battleship enough.
Yeah, Liam Neeson wasn't in Battleship enough. And it's just like, it's funny, next time we do a Lost show, I actually found our old, I can't remember what show it was, but I found it. Was it? It was something we did with McGee. It was Fuck, I don't remember what it was, but it's in our Lost show, and I was listening to it, and I say this great thing that really cracks me up, but it's also, you know, very evocative of this. And I said, and in this show, I said, you know, I really love Citizen Kane. It's a great flick, but it suffers from a serious lack of Batman. And that's exactly it. I mean, it's just all like, you know, you're wanting something that isn't supposed to be there. Like, you know, Liam Neeson yeah. isn't in Battleship enough, or The Empire Strikes Back isn't about only Chewbacca, or, you know, I would have liked
it. And I've said that about Battleship, but then I also add that any movie
doesn't have enough
from the lack of Liam Neeson. So.
Even Schindler's List, and he's in like 95% of it. Every movie. Yeah. And that's exactly it. Okay, and then the list already went over. The Mandarin switcheroo, the Jonah Hill nod, the de-evolution of the Razzies, CGI not being real, Battleship, and my number one favorite recent moment in Butthurt was the Point Break remake. That was a fucking fun list. I figured it was going to be, but some of these I flat out forgot about. I don't know how I didn't think about the Greedo shooting first thing, because I have been, you know, meaning to get a Greedo shoots first shirt. I might eventually order one, but if I ever run into one in a store, I would definitely pick it up. But I guess that's just who I am. And I think the moral of the story, the moral of this show is calm down, people. You're supposed to enjoy these things. If you don't, we're not even telling you that you need to think that Greedo shot first. We're not telling you that Battleship was a great movie. We're not telling you that you should have liked Galactus. What we're saying is find something you do like, because that's what mm-hmm. we try to do. And it's funny to me because, you know, Ethan and I are often flummoxed. We are often just like, what the hell is going on here? We're trying to figure out like these mental gymnastics that people go through to not like something. And I think that we just gave you 20 really good cases of, dude, just move on and go watch, I don't know, what's something everybody likes? Jaws. Go watch Jaws. Everybody likes Jaws, right?
Well, presumably. Yeah,
they better, because Jaws is a fucking awesome movie. Okay, so I guess that's going to bring us to the end of the show, but do you have anything to say before we go?
No, I think we are good to go.
You're good to go. We'll get that shit in the can. Okay, so until next time, I'm Aaron.
As far as I can serve, and I'm Ethan.
And Greedo shot first.
Fucking right, you did.
Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
I got into a lot of trouble with some of the listeners of the other podcast because I said that crazy-ass Whovians are like Deadpool fans. And I actually think that's true, but, you know.
Yeah.
This podcast was cut by Uncool Aaron.